great hands use his great hands? It was Mimi's turn to blush. Actually, he was very sweet. Just a little peck on the lips and a nice hug at my door, she answered with a giant smile. And you, Miss Thing? Was the computer genius charitable with his goodnight kiss? I giggled. Yes, he was. He gave me a great goodnight kiss, she replied, licking syrup off the back of her hand. She didn't seem to notice the way Mimi's eyes burned a little when she mentioned the goodnight she'd received, but I did. So, you escaped last night unscathed, I take it? Mimi asked me, sipping her coffee. I was still nursing the sore tongue, so I chose to stick with juice. I did. We came to a truce, and we'll try to be more neighborly. What exactly does that mean? She asked. That means he'll try to curtail his activity to earlier in the evening, and I'll try to be more understanding about his sex life, as lively as it is, I answered, digging into my purse for some money.
1 week, Sophia muttered.
Come again?
You wish. 1 week. That's how long I give this truce. You can't keep your opinions to yourself, and he can't keep that giggler quiet. 1 week, she said again, as Mimi smiled away.
Huh. We'll see. Monday morning, bright and early, Jillian came waltzing into my office.
Knock, knock, she called.
She was the picture of casual chic. Hair swept back into a loose bun, little black dress on her little tan body, legs that went on for miles ending in red pumps. Pumps that would probably constitute almost a week's pay for me. She was my mentor in every way, and I made a mental note to make sure I someday obtained the quiet confidence she carried with her. She smiled when she saw the new flowers in the vase on my desk. This week I'd chosen orange tulips, 3 dozen.
Morning. Did you see that the Nicholsons have added a home theater? I knew they'd come around.
I smiled as I sat back in my chair. Jillian settled herself in the chair across from me and just smiled back.
Oh, and Mimi is coming over for dinner tonight. We're hoping to finalize the plans for the new closet system she's designing. She wants to add carpet now.
I shook my head and sipped coffee from the mug on my desk. My tongue had almost healed. Jillian just continued to smile. I began to wonder if I had a Cheerio stuck to my face. Did I tell you I got the glass company in Murano to give me a deal on the pieces I ordered for the bathroom chandelier? I forged ahead. It's going to be beautiful. I think we'll definitely want to use them again, I added, smiling hopefully.
She finally sighed and leaned forward with a cat that ate the canary and went back for the feathers to play with, grin.
Jillian, did you have dental work done this morning? Are you trying to show me your new dentures? I asked, and she finally flinched.
As if I would ever need dentures.
No. I'm waiting for you to tell me about your neighbor, Mr. Parker. Or should I say, Simon Wallbanger? She laughed, finally sitting back in her chair and giving me a look that said I would not be allowed to leave my office until I told her everything she wanted to know.
Wallbanger.
Where to start? First of all, you can't tell me you didn't know he lived next door. How the hell could you have lived there as long as you did and not know he was the one thumping away every night? I inquired, looking back at her with my best detective sneer.
Hey, you know I hardly ever stayed there, especially the last few years. I knew he was in that neighborhood, but I had no idea it was next door to the apartment I was subletting.
When I see him, it's always with Benjamin, and we usually go out for drinks or we have him over to our place. Regardless, it's the beginnings of a great story, don't you think? She tempted, grinning again.
Oh, you and your matchmaking. Simon said you'd mentioned me to him before. You are so busted.
She held up her hands in front of her. Wait, wait, wait. I had no idea he was so, well, active. I never would have suggested you if I'd known he had so many girlfriends.
Benjamin must have known, but it's a guy thing, I guess,
she replied. I was the one to lean forward now. So tell me, how does he know Benjamin?
Well, Simon isn't originally from California. He grew up in Philadelphia and moved out here only when he went to Stanford. Benjamin has known him most of his life. He was really close to Simon's dad. Benjamin's kind of watched out for Simon. Favorite uncle, big brother, surrogate father, that kind of thing, she said, her face growing soft.
Was really close to his dad? Did they have a falling out or something? I asked.
Oh, no, no. Benjamin was always great friends with Simon's dad. He was the one who mentored Benjamin early in his career. Benjamin was very close with the entire family, she said, her eyes growing sad.
But now? I pressed.
Simon's parents were killed when he was a senior in high school, she said quietly.
My hand flew to my mouth.
Oh, no, I whispered, my heart full of sympathy for someone I barely knew.
Car accident. Benjamin says they went really quickly, almost instantly, she replied.
We were quiet for a moment, lost in our own thoughts. I couldn't even process what that must have been like for Simon.
So, after the funeral, Benjamin stayed in Philadelphia for a while, and he and Simon began to talk about his going to school at Stanford, she continued after a moment. I smiled at the image of Benjamin doing everything he could to help.
I can imagine it was probably a good idea for him to get away from everything, I said, wondering how I would deal with something like that.
Mm-hmm. I think Simon saw the chance, and he took it. And knowing that Benjamin was close by if he needed anything, I think that made it easier, she added.
When did you meet Simon? I asked.
His senior year of college. He'd spent some time in Spain the summer before, and when he came home that August, he came into the city to have dinner with us. Benjamin and I had been dating for a while by then, so he knew of me, but hadn't actually met me, she said.
Wow. Simon does Spain. Those poor flamenco dancers, they never stood a chance. We met for dinner and he charmed the waitress by ordering in Spanish. Then he told Benjamin that if he was ever stupid enough to leave me, that he would be quite happy to... Now, what was it he said? Yes. He would be quite happy to warm my bed.
She giggled, her face growing pink.
I rolled my eyes. This matched what I knew of him already. Although as brash as my girls and I were when flirting with Benjamin, it was the pot calling the kettle forward.
And that's how I met Simon, she finished, her eyes far away.
He really is pretty great, Caroline, all banging aside.
Yes, banging aside, I mused, running my fingertips back and forth across the tops of the flowers.
I hope you get to know him a little better, she said with a grin. Matchmaker once again.
Settle down there. We've called a truce, but that's all, I laughed, shaking my finger at her.
She got up and started for the door.
You're very very sassy for someone who's supposed to be working for me, she said, trying to look severe.
Well, I'd get a lot more work done if you'd let me get back to it and stop with your nonsense, I said, looking severely back at her.
She laughed and looked out to reception.
Hey, Ashley, when did I lose control of this office? She called.
You never actually had it, Jillian, Ashley yelled back.
Oh, go make coffee or something. And you, she said, turning to me and pointing. Design something brilliant for the Nicholson's basement.
Again, all things I could have been doing while you were yakking away in here, I murmured, tapping my pencil on my watch. She sighed. Seriously, Caroline, he's really sweet. I think you two could be great friends, she said, leaning in the doorway.
What's with everyone leaning in doorways lately?
Well, I can always use another friend now, can't I? I waved as she disappeared. Friends. Friends who called a truce.
Okay, so we know the floors in the bedroom are going to be reclaimed, honey-toned wood. But do you for sure want carpet in the closet? I asked, settling on the couch next to Mimi and starting on my second Bloody Mary. We'd been going through her plans for almost an hour as I tried to get her to see that I was not the only one who would have to compromise on her designs. She would as well. As long as we'd been friends, Mimi had believed she won every argument. Mimi saw herself as a badass who could strong-arm anyone into anything. Little did she know, Sophia and I had figured out that we only had to let her think she was getting her way, which made her much more tolerable. The truth was, I always knew I wanted carpet in the closet. Just not for the same reasons she did.
Yes, 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 it has to be carpet. Really thick and luxurious carpet. It will feel so good under cold toes in the morning, she cried, almost shaking in her excitement. I really hoped Nia would be around long enough to romance her right. She needed to release some of this excess energy.
Okay, Mimi, I guess you're right. Carpet in the closet. But for that, you have to give me back those 2 feet you wanted from the bathroom for the rotating shoe rack that I vetoed. I spoke carefully, wondering if she would go for it. She thought for a moment, looked at her plans again, took a long pull from her cocktail, and nodded.
Yes, take back the 2 feet. I get my carpet, and I can live with that.
She sighed, offering me her hand. I shook it solemnly and offered her my celery stalk. Clive came sauntering in and began to pace by the front door, pawing under the crack.
I bet our tie is almost here. Let me get my money, I said, pointing toward the door as I headed for my purse on the kitchen counter. Just as I spoke, I could hear steps in the hallway.
Mimi, get the door, that'll be the takeout guy, I called, rummaging through my purse.
Got it, she yelled, and I heard the door open.
Oh, hey there, Simon, she said,
and then I heard the strangest sound. I would swear on a stack of Bible and a court of actual law that I heard my cat speak.
Brinya, Clive said, and I whirled about. In the span of 5 seconds, 1,000 things happened. I saw Simon and Purina in the hallway, bags from Whole Foods in hands, key in front door. I saw Mimi at the door, barefoot and leaning, again with the leaning, in the doorway. I saw Clive rear back on his hind legs, preparing to jump in a way that I'd only ever seen him do once when I hid the catnip on the top of the fridge. Babies were born, old people died, stocks were traded, and someone faked an orgasm, all in those 5 seconds.
I launched myself at the door in a slow-motion run reminiscent of every action movie ever made. "No!" I cried as I saw a look of panic cross Purina's face and a look of pure lust cross Clive's as he prepared to woo. If I'd started for the door any earlier, maybe even a second earlier, I could have prevented the pandemonium that ensued. Simon pushed his door open and smiled a confused smile at me as I caught his eye. No doubt he was wondering why I was charging the door and screaming, "No!" Just then, Clive jumped, leaped, charged. Purina saw Clive jumping directly at her, and she did the worst thing she could have done. She ran. She ran into Simon's apartment. Of course the girl who meows when she has an orgasm is afraid of cats. Clive gave chase, and as I stood in the hallway with Simon and Mimi, we heard shrieking and meowing echoing back to us. It sounded oddly familiar, and I was reminded of Simon bringing it on home. I shook my head and took over. "Caroline, what the hell was that? Your cat just..." Simon was saying, and I placed my hand over his mouth as I hurried past him. "We don't have time, Simon. We have to get Clive." Mimi followed me into his apartment. Ned Nickerson to my Nancy Drew. I tracked the shrieks and meows to the back of the apartment, noticing that Simon's place was an exact mirror image of mine. It was very single guy, with the flat-screen TV and the amazing sound system. I didn't really have time for a proper shakedown, but I did notice the mountain bike in the dining room, as well as beautiful framed photographs all over the walls, lit by retro sconces. I couldn't admire for long, as I could hear Clive getting worked up in the bedroom. I paused by the door, listening to Purina scream. I looked back at Simon and Mimi, who wore twin expressions of fear and confusion, although Mimi's also showed quite a bit of merriment. "I'm going in," I said in a low, brave voice. With a deep breath, I pushed the door open and saw the bedroom of sin for the first time. Desk in the corner, dresser against one wall, with top covered in loose change. More photographs on the wall, black and whites. And there it was. His bed. Cue trumpets. Pushed up against the wall, my wall, was a giant California king, complete with padded leather headboard. Padded! It would have to be now, wouldn't it? It was immense. And he had the power to move that thing with his hips alone? Once again, Lower Caroline sat up straight and took notice. I centered, I focused, and I pried my eyes away from Orgasm Central. I scanned and acquired the target. There, at the leather club chair in front of the window. Purina perched on the back of this chair, hands in her hair, moaning and wailing and crying. Her skirt was shredded, and there were tiny claw marks in her stockings. She attempted with every fiber of her being to shrink away from the cat on the floor in front of her. And Clive? Clive was strutting, strutting back and forth in front of her, giving it his all. He turned like he was on a runway, pacing along a line on the floor and glancing at her nonchalantly. If Clive could wear a blazer, he would have taken it off, draped it casually over his kitty shoulder, and pointed at her. It was all I could do not to fall down laughing. I stepped toward him, and Purina shouted something at me in Russian. I ignored her and focused all my attention on my cat. "Hey, Clive. Hey, where's my good boy?" I crooned. and he turned. He glanced at me, and then jerked his head in Purina's direction as though he were making the first round of introductions.
"Who's your new friend?" I crooned again, shaking my head at Purina when she tried to say something. I held my finger up in front of my lips. This would require great finesse.
"Clive, come here!" Mimi yelled and barreled into the room.
She always had trouble containing her excitement. Clive made for the door as Mimi made for Clive. Purina made for the bed as I raced after Mimi, who collided with Simon just outside the bedroom door, who was still holding his damn Whole Foods bags. Thoughtfully chosen sustainable organic produce rained down on both of them as I pushed past, hurtling over limbs and a wheel of brie on my way back to the front door. I caught Clive just as he made a break for the stairs and held him close.
"Clive, you know better than to run away from Mommy," I chastised as Simon and Mimi finally caught up to us. "What the hell are you doing, cockblocker? Are you trying to kill me?" he shouted.
Mimi rounded on him.
"Don't you call her that, you wallbanger," she fired back, smacking his chest.
"Oh, you two shut up," I yelled. Here came Purina down the hallway toward us, wearing only one shoe and a furious look. She began to shout in Russian. Mimi and Simon continued to yell. Purina screamed. Clive struggled to get loose and be reunited with his one and only. And I stood in the middle of the chaos, trying to figure out what the hell had happened in the last 2 minutes.
"Get control of your damn cat," Simon yelled as Clive tried to spring free.
"Don't you yell at Caroline," Mimi yelled, smacking him again.
"Look at my skirt," Purina cried.
"Did someone order pad thai?" I heard above the chaos.
I looked and saw a petrified delivery boy standing on the top step, reluctant to come any further. Everyone stopped.
"Unbelievable," Mimi muttered, and walked into my apartment, motioning for the delivery boy to follow her.
I set Clive just inside the door and pulled it shut, cutting off his cries. Simon ushered Purina into his place, telling her softly to find something in his room to put on.
"I'll be there in just a minute," he said, and nodded again for her to go inside.
She glared at me once more and spun off in a huff, slamming the door. He turned back to me, and we stared at each other, both starting to laugh at the same time.
"Did that really just happen?" he asked through his chuckles.
"I'm afraid it did. Please tell Purina I am so sorry," I answered, wiping tears from my eyes.
"I will, but she needs to cool off for a while before I will attempt that. Wait, what did you just call her?" he asked.
Purina," I replied, still chortling.
"Why do you call her that?" he asked,
no longer laughing.
"Seriously? Come on, you can't figure it out?" I said.
"No, tell me," he said, running his hands through his hair.
"Oh, man, you're gonna make me say it?"
"Purina, because she...
God, because she meows," I blurted, laughing again.
He blushed deep red and nodded.
"Right, right, of course you would have heard that." He laughed. "Purina," he said under his breath, and smiled.
I could hear Mimi arguing with the delivery guy in my apartment, something about missing spring rolls.
"She's a little scary, you know," Simon said, gesturing toward my door.
You have no idea, I said.
I could still hear Clive wailing behind the door. I pressed my face to the edge and opened it just an inch.
Shut it, Clive, I hissed.
A paw came out through the crack, and I swear he flipped me off.
I don't know a lot about cats, but is that normal feline behavior? Simon asked.
He has a rather odd attachment to your girl there, ever since the second night I lived here. I think he's in love.
I see. Well, I'll make sure I convey his sentiments to Nadia, he said. When the time is right, of course.
He chuckled and prepared to go back inside.
You better keep it down over there tonight, or I'll send Clive back, I warned.
Jesus, no, he said.
Well, then turn on some music.
You've got to give something, I pleaded, or he'll be climbing the walls again.
Music, I can do.
Any requests? He asked, turning to face me from inside the doorway.
I backed up to mine and put my hand on my door.
Anything but big band, okay? I answered softly.
Heart moved down low in my tummy, flitting about. A look of disappointment crossed his face.
You don't like big band? He inquired, his voice low.
I pressed my fingers to my collarbone, my skin feeling warm under his gaze. I watched as his eyes followed my hand, further heating me with the intensity of his gaze.
I love it, I whispered,
and his eyes jerked back to mine in surprise. I smiled a shy smile and disappeared into my apartment, leaving him smiling back at me.
Mimi was still yelling at the delivery guy as I came inside to school Clive, a simpering look on both our faces.
5 minutes later, with a mouthful of noodles, I heard Purina yelling something in indecipherable Russian on the landing and Simon's door slammed. I tried to hide my grin, instead playing it off as a particularly spicy bite. No wall banging tonight, I guess. Clive would be so depressed. At around 11:30 that night, as I was settling into bed, Simon played me some music through our shared wall. Wasn't big band, but it was pretty good. Prince, Pussy Control. I smiled in spite of myself, delighted at his wicked sense of humor. Friends? Definitely. Maybe. Possibly. Pussy Control. I thought of it again and snorted. Well played, Simon. Well played.
Chapter 8.
A few nights later, I was headed out to yoga when I found myself face to face with Simon once again. He was coming up the stairs as I went down.
If I said, we have to stop meeting like this, would it sound as trite as it sounds in my head? I offered.
He laughed.
Hard to say. Give it a try.
Okay. Wow. We have to stop meeting like this, I exclaimed. We both waited a beat, and then laughed again.
Yep, trite, he said.
Maybe we can work out some kind of schedule, share custody of the hallway or something. I shifted my weight from one leg to another.
Great, now it looks like you have to pee. Where are you off to tonight? I seem to always catch you when you're leaving, he said,
as he propped himself up against the wall.
Well, clearly I'm headed somewhere very fancy.
I gestured to my yoga pants and cami. I then showed him my water bottle and yoga mat. He pretended to think very carefully, and then his eyes widened.
You're going to pottery class.
Yes, That's where I'm headed.
Ass. He grinned that grin at me. I smiled back. So, you never gave me the scoop on what you heard at brunch the other day. What's going on with our friends?
He asked. And I didn't at all feel a flutter in my belly at the mention of the word our. Not at all.
Well, I can tell you that my girls were quite taken with your boys.
Did you know they're all going to the symphony benefit next week? I said, instantly horrified that I went there that quickly.
I heard that. Neil gets tickets every year. Perks of the job, I suppose. Sportscasters always go to the symphony, right?
I would assume, especially when one is trying to cultivate a certain man-about-town persona. I added with a wink.
You caught that, huh?
He winked back, and we found ourselves smiling again. Friends? Definitely a stronger possibility.
We'll have to compare notes afterward, see how the Fantastic Four are doing.
Did you know they've been going out on double dates all week? I said. Sophia had confided that they'd been going out constantly, but always as a foursome.
I did hear something about that. They all seem to be getting along well.
That's good, right?
It's good, yes. I'm actually going out with them next week. You should come along.
I tossed out casually.
It's all for the truce, just for the truce.
Oh, wow. I'd love to, but I'm heading overseas. Leaving tomorrow, actually.
He said. If I didn't know better, I'd say he almost looked disappointed.
Really? On a shoot?
I said, and realized my mistake. That knowing smirk came back with a vengeance.
A shoot? Checking up on me?
I felt my face go from pink to a lovely tomato red.
Jillian mentioned what you do for a living, yes. And I noticed the pictures in your apartment. When my pussy was chasing your Russian, ring any bells?
He seemed to shift his weight a little at my choice of words.
Weak spot? You noticed my pictures?
He asked.
I did. You've got a great set of sconces.
I smiled sweetly and looked directly at his crotch.
Sconces? He mumbled, clearing his throat.
Occupational hazard. So, where are you headed anyway? Overseas, I mean.
I dragged my eyes deliberately back up to his and noticed his were nowhere near my face.
Heh, heh, heh.
What? Ireland. Shooting a bunch of coastal spots for Condé Nast and then going into some of the smaller towns, he answered,
bringing his gaze back to mine. It was nice to see him a bit flustered.
Ireland. Nice.
Well, bring me back a sweater.
Sweater. Got it. Anything else?
A pot of gold and a shamrock.
Great. I won't have to leave the airport gift shop, he muttered.
And then when you come home, I'll do a little Irish dance for you, I cried, and started laughing at the lunacy of this conversation.
Ah, oh, nighty girl, did you just offer to dance for me?
He said in a low voice, stepping a little closer. And just like that, the balance of power shifted.
Simon, 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 I exhaled, shaking my head,
mainly to clear it from the effect of his being so near. We've been over this. I have no desire to join the harem.
What makes you think I'd ask you?
What makes you think you wouldn't? Besides, I think that would mess with the truce, don't you?
I laughed. The truce, he said.
Just then I heard steps on the stairs below.
Simon, is that you?
A voice called up. At that, he leaned back, away from me. I looked down and realized we'd been inching toward each other on the landing throughout our exchange.
"Hey, Katie, up here,"
he called down.
"A haremet? I'll watch my walls tonight," I said softly.
"Stop it. She had a hard day at work, and we're heading out to a movie. That's it."
He smiled sheepishly at me, and I laughed. If we were going to be friends, I might as well meet the harem, by God. A moment later, we were joined by Katie, who I, of course, knew as Spanx. I muffled a laugh as I smiled at her.
"Katie, this is my neighbor, Caroline," Simon said. "Caroline, this is Katie."
I offered my hand, and she looked curiously between Simon and me.
"Hi, Katie.
Nice to meet you."
"You too, Caroline."
"You the one with the cat?"
she asked, a twinkle in her eye. I looked at Simon, and he shrugged.
"Guilty, although Clive would argue that, in fact, he is an actual person." "Oh, I know. My dog used to watch TV and bark until I put on something she liked. What a pain in the ass she was."
She smiled. We all stood for a moment, and it was beginning to get a little awkward.
"Okay, kids, I'm off to yoga. Simon, have a safe trip, and I'll fill you in on the gossip from the new couples when you get back."
"Sounds good. I'll be gone a while, but hopefully they won't get in too much trouble while I'm away."
He chuckled as they started up the stairs.
"I'll keep my eyes on them. Nice to meet you, Katie," I said, headed down.
"You too, Caroline.
Night,"
she called back to me. As I walked down the stairs more slowly than necessary, I heard her say, "Pink nighty girl's pretty."
"Shut it, Katie,"
he fired back, and I swear he swatted her on the butt. Her yelp a second later confirmed it. I rolled my eyes as I pushed the door open and headed out to the street. When I got to the gym, I switched my class from yoga to kickboxing.
"I'll have a vodka martini straight up with 3 olives, please."
The bartender got to work as I looked around the crowded restaurant, taking a break from the Fantastic Four. After 2 weeks of hearing about all these fabulous double dates, I'd agreed to go out with them and turn them into a Fantastic Five. It was fun, and I was having a great time, but after being with 2 new couples all night, I needed a break. People watching at the bar was a great way to get some time off. To my left was an interesting couple. Silver-haired gentleman with a woman younger than I was who had newly purchased tits.
"Good girl. You get yours. I mean, if I had to look at flabby old man buns, I'd want bigger boobs, too."
I never thought I'd enjoy being alone, but lately I was finding I did pretty well without a man in my life. I was alone, but I wasn't lonely. Orgasms aside, I did occasionally miss the companionship of a boyfriend, but I liked going places solo. I could travel alone, so why not? Nevertheless, the first time I took myself out to a movie, I thought it was going to be weird. The likelihood of running into someone I knew while out and about in the jungles of Costa Rica was slim to none. But running into someone at the movies in the jungles of San Francisco, odds were greater. But it was great. And a restaurant alone was also just fine. Turns out, I'm a great date all by myself. Still, dinner tonight with my friends had been quite entertaining. The way these 2 new couples circled each other was fun to watch. Mimi and Sophia had both snagged themselves the men they'd cultivated in their heads as the perfect matches. Just then, I spotted Sophia in the crowd, her height and gorgeous red hair setting her apart even among hundreds. Hot restaurant and an even hotter bar. This place was packed with people and pretension. I could see her chatting with someone, and off to the side I found Mimi and Ryan. What was odd? Neil, not Ryan, seemed to be Sophia's conversation partner. Ryan appeared completely captivated by Mimi, her hands moving through the air and punctuating statements with her toothpicked olive as he listened, fascinated. From where I stood, the distance afforded me perfect clarity. I couldn't help but smile. They'd found the boys they always thought they wanted, but now they each seemed fascinated by the other one. Oh, well, the grass was always cuter, right? Sophia glanced over and spotted me at the bar, and shortly thereafter, she excused herself and headed my way. "Having fun?" I asked as she perched on the stool next to me. "I'm having a great time," she mused. She then told the bartender exactly how to make her cocktail. "How's Neil tonight?" Her eyes lit up briefly, and then she seemed to catch herself. "Neil? Good, I guess. Ryan looks great, doesn't he?" she covered, gesturing over to where we'd left our group and where Mimi and Ryan were still deep in conversation. Ryan did indeed look good in jeans and a shirt that exactly matched his green eyes, the eyes fixed delightedly on Ms. Mimi. How could they not see it? "Neil looks pretty good tonight, too," I tossed out, refocusing on the brawny sportscaster. Charcoal sweater, chinos, he was every inch the man about town. "Yep," she said icily, licking a bit of salt from the rim on her glass. I giggled and placed a hand on her arm. "Come on, pretty girl, let's get you back to your perfect man," I said, and we rejoined the group. I departed a little before my friends did, tired but happy. Once again I'd spent an evening alone and lived to tell the tale. I wondered if other single women understood the delight that came from fifth-wheeling it. To not have to make small talk with some guy you'd been set up with, to not have to worry about some idiot with peppercorn-encrusted filet breath trying to force his wiggly tongue down the back of your throat, and to not have to explain to that same idiot why you insist on taking a cab home when his super-fast Camaro is parked right over there. I'd enjoyed, or should I say mostly enjoyed, an assortment of relationships since high school, but hadn't really been in love for a long time. Not since senior year of college. And since that fell apart, I'd had just a series of casual flings, never really feeling fully invested in anyone. Hence my current hiatus from dating. Getting all the parts to line up seemed more and more difficult for me as I got older, and the process could be exhausting. Lower Caroline might be on board, but brain and heart always seemed to have reservations. Plus, now that my O was also absent for who knew how long, I was finding my solitary lifestyle more and more appealing. As I mused over these thoughts, headed home in a cab, my phone beeped. I had a text from a number I didn't recognize. "Have a good time tonight?" Who the hell is texting me? Who the hell is texting me? As I waited for the reply, I leaned down and slipped off my shoes. Fantastic heels, but damn, they hurt my feet. My phone beeped again, and I read, "Some people call me Wallbanger." I hated myself a little for the way my now naked toes curled. Stupid toes. "Wallbanger, huh? Wait a minute. How did you get my number?" I knew it was either Mimi or Sophia. Damn girls. They were really pushing it lately. "I can't reveal my sources. So, did you have a good time tonight?" "Okay, I can play this game." In fact, I did. On my way home now. How is the Emerald Isle? Lonely yet?
It's beautiful, actually. Just having breakfast. And I am never lonely.
I believe that. Did you buy my sweater?
Working on it. Want to get just the right one.
Yes, please give me a good one.
Not going to respond to that one. How's that pussy of yours?
Really not going to respond to that one. Is there something you wanted?
This not responding thing is getting harder.
I know what you mean.
It's hard not to touch that one. Okay, officially ending this round. The innuendos are too thick to see straight.
Oh, I don't know. It's better when it's thick.
Wow. I'm enjoying this truce more than I expected.
I have to admit it's good for me, too.
Are you home yet?
Yep. Just pulled up in front of our building.
Okay, I'll wait until you're inside.
Bet you can't wait to get inside.
You're a demon, you know that.
I have been told. Okay, inside. Just kicked your door, BTW.
Thanks.
Just being a good neighbor.
Good night, Caroline.
Good morning, Simon. I laughed as I turned the key in my lock and went inside. I sank into my couch, still laughing. Clive quickly jumped on my lap, and I petted his silky fur as he purred his welcome home. My phone beeped once more.
Did you really kick my door?
Shut up. Go eat your breakfast. I laughed again as I silenced my phone for the night and lay back on the couch. Clive perched on my chest as I relaxed for a bit. Thoughts of that damn wall banger in my head. It was shocking how clearly I could picture him. Soft faded jeans, hiking boots a la Jake Ryan from 16 Candles, off-white Irish cable-knit turtleneck sweater, hair all in disarray, standing on a rocky coast somewhere, ocean in the background, a little tan, slightly weathered, hands in pockets, and that grin. Chapter 9. Text between Caroline and Simon. You had a package delivered. I signed for it and it's at my place.
Thanks. I'll pick it up when I'm back. How are you?
Good. Just working. How are the Irish?
Lucky. How's that insane cat?
Lucky. I caught him trying to climb the walls. He's still looking for Purina. Misses her.
I don't think a romance is in the cards for those two.
Probably not. He won't be over it any time soon, though. Might have to bump up his catnip ration.
Don't over-medicate. No one likes a pussy that can't hold a conversation.
I'm actually a little scared of you.
LOL. Don't be scared. Wait until I offer you candy for that.
If I catch you in a trench coat, I'm running the other way. When are you coming home, BTW?
Missing me a little?
No. I wanted to rehang some pictures on the wall behind my headboard, and I'm wondering how much time I have.
Be home in 2 weeks. If you can wait that long, I'll help you. It's the least I can do.
The very least, and I'll wait. You provide the hammer, I'll provide the cocktails.
Curious about my hammer, aren't you?
Going across the hall right now to kick your door. Text between Mimi and Caroline. Girl, guess what? Sophia's grandparents' house is available next month. We're on our way to Tahoe, baby.
Sweet.
That'll be nice. I've been dying to get away with my girls. We were thinking of inviting the boys. Is that cool with you?
That's fine. The four of you will have a great time.
Idiot. Obviously, you're still invited.
Aw, thanks. I'd love to go along on a romantic weekend with two couples. Fantastic.
Don't be an asshole. You're totally still coming. You won't be a fifth wheel. It'll be so fun. Did you know Ryan plays the guitar? He's gonna bring it, and we can sing along.
What is this, camp? No thanks.
Text between Mimi and Neil.
Hey, big man. What are you doing middle of next month?
Hey, shorty. No plans yet. What's up?
Sophia's grandparents are gonna let us have the Tahoe house. You in? Ask Ryan.
Hells yes. I'm there. I'll ask the nerd if he's in.
Trying to talk Caroline into coming along, too.
Great. The more the merrier. We still meeting for drinks with Sophia and Ryan tonight?
Yep. See you then.
You got it, kiddo.
Text between Simon and Neil.
Quit fucking asking me about Lucky Charms. That little guy cracks me up every time. Hey, when are you home? We're headed up to Tahoe for a weekend next month. I'll be home next week. Who's going? Sophia and Mimi. Me and Ryan. Maybe Caroline. That girl's pretty cool. Yeah, she's pretty cool when she's not cock-blocking. Tahoe, huh? Yep, Sophia's grandparents have a house there. Nice.
Text between Simon and Caroline.
You going to Tahoe?
How the hell did you hear about that already?
Word gets around. Neil is pretty excited.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Sophia in a hot tub isn't too hard to figure out.
Wait, I thought he was dating Mimi.
Oh, he is. But he is definitely thinking about Sophia in a hot tub. Trust me.
What the hell?
Strange things afoot in San Francisco. They're each dating the wrong person.
What?
It's shocking. Mimi can't stop talking about Ryan, who's usually staring like a sad puppy dog at her, and Sophia is so busy mooning over Neil's giant man hands, she can't see that he's staring right back at her.
Pretty funny. Why don't they swap?
Says the guy with the harem. It's not always that easy.
Wait until I get home. I'll take care of it.
Okay, Mr. Fix-It. Before or after you hang my pictures.
Don't worry, Nighty Girl. I'm all about getting into your bedroom.
Sigh.
Did you really just type the word sigh?
Sigh.
Are you going to Tahoe?
Not if I can help it. Although it would almost be worth it to watch the chaos when they finally figure this out.
Indeed.
Text between Caroline and Sophia.
What's this I hear about you not coming to Tahoe?
Ugh, what's the big deal?
Easy, Trigger. What crawled up your ass?
I just don't know why it's essential that I accompany all of you on a romantic weekend. I'm perfectly happy to go next time. Going out with you guys here is one thing. Tagging along to Tahoe? I don't think so.
It won't be like that, I promise.
I already have to hear Simon banging on the walls when he's home. I don't need to hear Ryan drilling you in the next room or Mimi getting manhandled.
Do you think he's manhandling her?
What?
Neil, do you think he's manhandling her?
Is he what?
Oh, you know what I mean.
Are you actually asking me if our dear friend Mimi is having sex with her new boy toy?
Yes, I'm asking.
As it happens, no. They're not manhandling yet.
Wait, why are you asking?
You've slept with Ryan, right?
Right? Gotta go.
Text between Sophia and Ryan.
Is it weird that we only ever go on double dates with Mimi and Neil?
What?
Is it weird?
I don't know, is it?
Yes.
Tonight you're coming over alone, and we're watching a movie.
Yes, ma'am.
And BTW, ask your buddy Simon to come to Tahoe.
Any specific reason I'm doing this?
Yep.
Care to share?
Nope.
Bring popcorn.
Text between Ryan and Simon.
Are you sick of green yet?
I'm ready to come home, yes. My flight gets in late tomorrow night. Or tonight. Shit, I don't know.
Sophia asked me to officially ask you if you want to come along to Tahoe. You in?
Tahoe, huh?
Yep.
I think Caroline is going.
I thought she wasn't going.
Have you been talking to the cock blocker?
Some. She's pretty cool. The truce seems to be holding.
Hmm.
So? Tahoe?
Let me think about it. Windsurfing this weekend?
Yep.
Text between Simon and Caroline.
So I got invited to the Tahoe thing. Are you going?
You got invited?
Ugh. I take it you're still not sold on the idea?
I don't know. I love going up there, and the house is pretty fantastic. Are you going?
Are you going?
I asked you first.
So what?
Child. Yes, I suppose I will end up going.
Great. I love it up there.
Oh, you're going now?
Might as well. Sounds like fun.
We'll see. Home tomorrow, yes?
Yep. Late flight in, and then sleeping for at least a day.
Let me know when you're up. I've got that package for you.
Will do.
And I'm baking zucchini bread tonight. I'll save some for you. You probably have no groceries at all, right?
You make zucchini bread?
Yep.
Sigh.
I woke up suddenly and heard music coming from next door. Duke Ellington. I looked at the clock. It was after 2 a.m. Clive poked his head out from under the covers and hissed.
Oh, shut up. Don't be jealous, I hissed back.
He glared at me, showing me his bum as he turned and wiggled his way back under the covers, head first. I snuggled in deeper myself, smiling as I listened to the music. Simon was home. The next morning, I woke up so happy it was Saturday. I was caught up on everything. No laundry to do, no errands to run. Just a day to enjoy and relax. Fantastic. I decided to start with a nice long bath, and then I'd decide what to do with my day. I was thinking of a run at Golden Gate Park that afternoon. Fall in San Francisco was so pretty when the weather held. I just might take a book and spend the entire afternoon there. I started the bath, and Clive came in to keep me company. He weaved in and out of my legs as I dropped my PJs on the floor and meowed as he explored the top of the tub. He loved to balance on the edge while I took a bath. He'd never fallen in, although sometimes he would dip his tail. Silly cat. One of these days he was going to dip more than his tail. I tested the water. It was just beginning to make its way up the side of the giant tub when I decided I needed a little coffee before I settled in. I padded out to the kitchen, naked as the day is long, to make myself a cup. I yawned as I measured the beans for the grinder. I tossed a few spoonfuls into the filter and went to get water. As soon as I turned on the faucet, the screeching began. First, I heard Clive meow like never before. Then I heard splashing. I started to smile, thinking he'd finally fallen in, when the water from the sink shot straight in my face. I blinked furiously, confused until I realized water was shooting out the top of the faucet, spraying the entire kitchen. Shit! I screamed, trying